Chapter 54. They marched Kylar out of the mall before dawn. His escort was 50 men. They bound his wrists with manacles behind his back, tied his elbows with hemp, and hobbled his feet. He was surprised when, instead of heading through the castle, the guards led him out the great double doors, up the black carven tongue, and out the throat of the maw, into the rocky west side of Voss Island. There was a barge waiting for them, and as soon as they chained Kylar to a post in the middle of it, they cast off, the men alert for threats from him or from any who might rescue him. They had barely passed under West King's Bridge when Kylar saw new construction on the plith. Deep pilings had been sunk into the riverbed south of Voss Island to support a central platform, which rested on the surface of the river. The pilings extended high above the platform, and three spokes radiated from the center, supporting temporary spans to Voss Island, the Warrens, and the east side. The three-way bridge was temporary now, and low to the water, but the size and placement of the pilings told Kylar of the project's ambition. It would be a symbol of Logan's reign, a bridge that bound the city's sides and its government together. As they came closer, Kylar saw that what he had thought was merely the thickness of the temporary bridge's surface was something else. Every one of the temporary spans, west to the Warrens, north to the castle, and east, was filled with people. The sun was barely lighting the sky, and there were thousands gathered. Everyone in the city had come. Even Lantano Garawashi's soldiers had come. As the barge came within sight, a cry went up, and it wasn't kind. These people loved Logan. Kylar knew instantly, and any traitor must be vile. From the safety of the mob, any fear they might have had for the Sakage's avatar had vanished. Indeed, that probably made him more hated still. His disavowals in the courtroom made no difference. Only the verdict mattered. The barge came closer, and the yells were deafening. Looking on faces filled with hatred, Kylar supposed he was lucky the city had been starving. There was no rotten produce for people to throw. Something splashed in the water, 20 feet short of the barge.
"Shields up!" an officer barked.
The men crouched and raised their shields over their heads. Chained to the post in the middle, Kylar couldn't move. Rocks rattled off the shields and splashed in the water. Then, Kylar watched one arc perfectly. He turned his head. The rock gouged a furrow in his scalp, and he staggered against the post, blood spilling over his ear. Another rock glanced off his shoulder, and a third hit him in the crotch. The crowd cheered as he slumped. He stood again, though spots swam before his eyes, blinding him. As they got closer, the hail thickened. Most of the throws missed, but rocks hammered his sides, his legs. A stone, a hand span across, landed on his foot, shattering bones. He screamed. It was bad timing. A rock that would have been too high caught him in the mouth, snapping teeth and driving others through his lip. Another cheer went up. Finally, the barge bumped against the platform.
"Enough!"
a woman shouted. Kylar lifted his head and saw a young woman in full armor standing in the center of the platform, with her hands raised, trying to still the crowd. Then a stone hit him in the eye.
"Enough!"
the woman shouted. But Kylar lost her voice under the shrieking voice of pain. His face was hot. His chained hands couldn't reach up to protect himself or feel the damage. Soldiers were jostling him, half-carrying, half-dragging him forward. Kylar opened his eyes, but could only see from his right. His first sight was of his bare foot, bleeding, ruined. It made him lightheaded. He looked up, blinking, but blinking sent forks of lightning through his left eye. Blood was filling his mouth from his smashed lips. He didn't know if he'd swallowed or spit out the teeth, but jagged edges were all that remained. When Kylar could finally try to make out the details, he saw that the platform was filled with Logan's retinue, including at least 100 of Logan's bodyguards. Numerous other soldiers were scattered throughout the crowd, including along all three bridges, keeping a lane clear. On the far side of the platform, facing the castle, was the wheel. To one side, Logan sat in a gilded chair. They dragged Kylar before him, and a herald read out the charges. Kylar paid no attention to them. He looked only at Logan. Logan's eyes trailed over Kylar's wounds, and he swallowed, but he didn't avert his gaze. His eyes met Kylar's, and Kylar saw suffering as great as his own, but no wavering. The herald finished with the charges, with a question.
"Yes," Kylar said loudly. "I killed Tara Grayson, and I'd do it again."
Logan stood, and the muttering that had begun ceased instantly.
"Kage. Shadowed One, whom I knew as Kylar Stern. I owe you my life. You are a hero, and I call you my friend. But you have betrayed this country and murdered her queen. I will not be a king who gives different justice to his friends. Kylar, my friend, I sentence you to hang by the wheel until you are dead."
Kylar said nothing. He merely bowed his head to Logan. Logan sat and made no attempt to quiet the crowd that now buzzed with the confirmation of the rumors they'd heard. The soldiers dragged Kylar to the wheel. It was slightly taller than a man and open, with only four spokes radiating from the axle, which would be behind Kylar's back, so he could face the crowds. There were blocks for his feet, which adjusted at the ankle so his feet wouldn't slip free, a thick leather belt for his waist, and two sharply ridged bars for handholds. The rest of the wheel bristled with iron spikes, all pointed inward. The royal guards who'd brought him from the mall began strapping him in place.
"Are you really the Night Angel?"
Keldrosa asked quietly, fitting the leather belt around his waist.
"Yes,"
Kylar said. Keldrosa leaned close as she strapped his wrist to the wheel and whispered,
"There are 250 women here who'd be dead if you hadn't saved us from Hugh Gibbet. It'll kill us to betray Logan, but if you..."
"Do your duty,"
Kylar said. He squeezed his eyes tight shut.
"Thank you,"
Keldrosa said. Once he was strapped in, the guards adjusted the spikes. If Kylar held himself in place, none of them would touch his body. However, as the wheel turned, he would have to support his weight by his ankles and by his hands, gripping knife-edged bars that would cut his fingers and palms to mincemeat. Once he weakened, the spikes would stab his sides, his legs, and his arms, enough to spur him to redouble his efforts, but never so deeply that they would kill. He would eventually die of blood loss, or his heart would burst. As they finished, he lifted his gaze once more and scanned the crowd. He saw Mama Kay and Count Drake. he saw the Chantry's ambassador faintly glowing in his sight, obviously hoping that this night angel would do something magical for her to report. And the Li Naught ambassador, dispassionate, more studying Logan's reaction than Kylar's suffering. He saw the women of the Order, horrified, one crying silently. He saw faces he had known from the Warrens, tavern keepers and whores and thieves, and an herbalist. He saw nobles Kylar Stern had rubbed shoulders with and been ignored by. Then Logan gave a signal, and the wheel rattled backward and settled down, water lapping over Kylar's feet. Oh yes, now Kylar remembered. There were more than two ways to die on the wheel. The wheel itself was perpendicular to the flow of the plith. It used the river's current to turn it. When Kylar turned upside down, his head would dip into the water low enough to cover his mouth. It would only be enough to drown him if he was unconscious and close to death anyway, but the coughing fit would make him stab himself in dozens of places. Logan nodded. The wheel began to turn.